From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The Southern Poverty Law Center filed a lawsuit last year against the Collier County School District, saying it denied access to high school to students from other countries, instead sending them to English as a Second Language classes. The school district has responded asking for the case to be dismissed, most recently in December, saying they broke no laws. We'll talk about where the case now stands, what programs are working for foreign-born students in other school districts, and what other resources there are for teens and young adults to learn English. Plus, if you ever wondered how long it takes for a dinosaur egg to hatch, a paleobiologist has found out. His new study shows that dinosaurs are not quite as bird-like as scientists once thought. We'll talk with him a little later in the show. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Students from other countries who come here as teenagers come with varying levels of education from their home countries and limited knowledge of the English language. Many are in their teenage years already, so they would be in high school. But a lawsuit filed by the Southern Poverty Law Center says that when students tried to enroll in high school in Collier County, they were turned away. Instead, they were offered English as a second language classes and put on a GED track. Attorneys for the Southern Poverty Law Center say that is illegal. Joining me to talk about the case is Michelle Lapointe, an attorney from the group. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
WGCU has reached out to Collier County Schools, and we were told that they will not comment on ongoing litigation. This is why they aren't here for the discussion today. Also with me to talk about teenagers learning English in Southwest Florida is the Director of Literacy Services at the Literacy Council of the Gulf Coast, which is one of the largest in the country, Bob Sorensen. Thanks for coming into the studio today.
You're welcome.
We are talking about the lawsuit against the Collier County School District on behalf of students denied entry into the high school. Do you have a question or a comment? You can share your thoughts with us at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Michelle Lapointe with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Can you bring us up to speed on the case for people who may not have heard about it up to now?
Sure. Our office filed a lawsuit last year in federal district court in Fort Myers on behalf of six recently arrived English language learner students. These are children who are not fluent in the English language and who were born in foreign countries. And in that lawsuit, we allege that these students attempted to enroll in public schools in Collier County and were turned away at the door. Some of them simply turned away and left with no educational option, and others directed to enroll in adult English as a second language programs in the technical colleges in Collier County. Now, these adult education programs were simply English language classes. They didn't offer any other curricular programming, any other way to earn high school credits or credits towards a high school diploma. So we filed this lawsuit originally in May of last year, and the Collier County School Board and the superintendent, who are defendants, moved to dismiss our complaint last summer. We have opposed their motion, and the U.S. Department of Justice has filed a statement of interest recommending that the case not be dismissed because we have, in their view, stated a violation of the law, of federal law, in our complaint.
And then the most recent move to dismiss came in December?
Yes, it was actually the defendants responding to the statement of interest of the United States. So the motion itself was filed in September of last year, and their December filing was a specific response to what the Department of Justice had said in their filing.
When I was reading the court documents, it looked like there were six students listed, and then in the most recent filings, I only see three listed. Is there a reason for that?
They're six plaintiffs, but they have actually brought the case on behalf of a class. We have moved for certification as a class action, which means that these six plaintiffs would be able to represent a larger number of students who are in the same position as they are, that is, being denied access to public education.
How many students do you think that is total?
We think it could be several hundred. We have received records from the defendants indicating that in the last school year alone, 2015-2016, there were approximately 370 students who were under 18 who were enrolled in the adult education program rather than Collier County Public Schools.
Where does the case stand right now?
Well, it's essentially in front of the federal district court judge. Both the defendant's motion to dismiss and our motion to certify as a class action. So we're moving forward with the case, and we're in the discovery period with the defendants, which means we're asking for documents to be able to prove our case. And assuming that the court does not dismiss the complaint, then we'll move forward with discovery and toward a trial and try to get our students enrolled in Collier County Public Schools and also other students who are in their position who have been denied an education to this point, getting them out of the adult education programs and into a public school setting where they belong and where they have a right to be under the law.
And what law specifically does your lawsuit allege that the school district broke?
We are alleging that the school board and the superintendent's actions violate Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which is a federal law that prohibits discrimination by public entities on the basis of, among other things, race and national origin. We're also alleging that the defendants violated the Equal Educational Opportunities Act, which requires that state educational agencies and local school districts take meaningful action to provide access to education by students who are not fluent in English. And we have also claims under the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution and the Due Process Clause, as well as a Florida state law claim. Florida has its own Educational Opportunities Act, protecting the rights of English language learners to access public school.
In their move to dismiss, one of the first things that the school district's attorneys pointed out in their response to the lawsuit and their request for the dismissal is that the students were 16 years old at the time and that two had completed sixth grade and one had completed eighth grade. And it seems like the Collier attorneys are basing a lot of their case on the forecast that the teenage students will age out of high school by the time they're up to speed in English and wouldn't be able to make up for education missed. Is this kind of forecasting of their ability something with any legal precedent?
Well, they're actually the defendant's statements in the December filing were incomplete and somewhat inaccurate. Our plaintiffs, when they went to enroll, were between ages 15 and 17, and actually 15-year-olds are subject to compulsory education under Florida law, so they have to be in school, otherwise they could be considered truant. And one of our plaintiffs, one of our clients, was actually 15 the first time he went to enroll in Immokalee High School and was turned away. And so the Florida Constitution guarantees a right for all children to have access to public school and to receive a public school education. So they were they're in violation of the law by not allowing these students to attend public school. And, to the extent that these students are getting older as time goes on, certainly that's a concern, and that's why we think the school district needs to remedy its practices right away so these students are not continuing to be kept out of school during a time that they should be in class with their peers, they should be learning, they should be having access to the public school curriculum and extracurricular activities and the chance to earn a high school diploma.
Well, when it comes to determining policies about students aging out of school or being too old to go to high school, all those other kinds of requirements and then academic proficiency, where does the authority lie for that kind of testing and who's accepted into school or not? Is that something that's in the hands of local school districts or is that governed more by state laws?
Yeah, well, certainly school districts as a general matter have the ability to set policies related to requirements, promotion requirements within the schools and of course, graduation requirements. However, to the extent that those policies conflict with federal and state law, that's a problem. And what we see in this case is that the school board claims that it's relying on a neutral age-out policy, but in fact, they're not even applying that policy to our students. They're misapplying it. And we believe that these actions were targeted to keep out students like our plaintiffs, who are English language learners and who have arrived from other countries. The other thing that the board is doing, and through the actions of its employees who have denied admission to our plaintiffs and other similar students, is that they're not even evaluating these students and their academic qualifications and their English language abilities. In fact, some of these students have pretty significant levels of education from their home countries. We have a few Haitian plaintiffs who came with at least a few years of high school already, and the schools, rather than evaluate them and determine proper placement within the high school or any other public school setting, simply turned them away and said, you're not on track to graduate, or we believe that you're not, without any assessment, and sent them to the adult ed programs, which is inappropriate.
With performance-based funding for schools, do you suspect that shifting kids that might be presumed to not be able to perform incredibly well, do you think tracking them into tech schools or ESL GEDs, do you think that might be to keep student performance averages up?
It's certainly a concern. I think we'd have to ask the school district whether that's the reason that they are making these assumptions about our students. We think that that's discriminatory in itself if they believe that these students, simply by being foreign-born and by not speaking English fluently, that they're presumed to be unable to succeed. We think that that's discriminatory and unfair. But it certainly is a concern that school districts would be making these assessments without any individualized look at the students and their ability to achieve. Now, whether that's related to the school district's perception of how they will perform eventually and reflect on the schools, I think that's something we need to ask Collier County Schools.
And I want to be clear, we did ask Collier County Schools if they would like to be involved in our conversation today, but they said that they would not like to because of the ongoing litigation, and they did not want to comment publicly about it in a forum such as this. Do you see this happening in other parts of the country?
We do, actually. This is not the first case in the past year or 18 months or so that has arisen relating to similar practices. We receive calls from districts throughout the southeastern United States where recently arrived English language learner students are having difficulty enrolling in public schools, in many cases being sent to adult ed programs similar to what's happening in Collier County. And there's ongoing litigation in other parts of the country relating to similar practices. There's a pending lawsuit in Pennsylvania against the Lancaster County Public Schools, whereby the school district there sent refugee students to a quote-unquote alternative educational program where they received inferior instruction. The plaintiffs in that case prevailed on a preliminary injunction in the federal court, and that's up on appeal. Another case in Utica, New York, involves similar practices to what Collier County is doing. And in that case, the New York Attorney General was successful in defending the case against a motion to dismiss, and the Utica School District has reformed its practices as a result.
Are there more teenage students coming into the U.S. at this time with limited education from their home countries? Are we seeing an influx?
Well, certainly in 2013 and 2014, there was an influx of unaccompanied children to the United States, primarily from Central America. And those children, once they were processed through United States immigration channels, were sent to live with relatives and friends known as sponsors in different counties throughout the country. And Collier County is among those places that received large numbers of those children. It sounds like it's continuing, that children continue to arrive given the conditions in their home countries in Central America, primarily the violence that many of these countries are experiencing. But it's not just these unaccompanied minor students. As I mentioned, several of our plaintiffs are originally from Haiti, and one, in fact, who's Haitian, had been enrolled in a high school in the state of Georgia before he attempted to enroll in Collier schools and was denied. So while it is related to the unaccompanied minors phenomenon, not all of these students fit in that category.
Okay. We are talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center's lawsuit against the Collier County Schools with one of the attorneys from the SPLC, Michelle LaPointe. You can become part of this conversation by giving us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCU. I wanted to point out one more time that we did reach out to the Collier County School District to have them join our show today. They declined to comment due to the pending lawsuit, but they have argued in court filing that they are offering these immigrant student programs that will put them on a track to getting a GED. Michelle, would that not be considered good enough?
In a word, no. That a GED is not the equivalent of a high school diploma, but beyond that, none of our students, none of our plaintiffs have actually taken any GED classes or been offered those. They've simply been offered adult ESOL, which is adult English as a second language class. And they sit in these classes with individuals who are much older than them. So we're talking about 16 and 17-year-old students who are sitting in English classes for adults. And these English classes are designed to help them succeed in the workforce. It's a different type of program than that which they should receive in a public high school setting. And so it's completely inappropriate and under the law. And the idea that they could, at a future date, obtain a GED does not comport with the law.
Well, and you brought up an important point about age disparity. In the end, the question is going to be, if a school district has a student who's 16 and they've only completed up to the 6th or 8th grade in their home country, in Haiti or Guatemala in this case, do they just go into their junior year of high school where the classes are taught in a language they don't understand, or do you put a 16-year-old in a 6th grade class?
Sure. I mean, these are difficult questions, and that's precisely why school districts have a lot of latitude to design programs that best serve these students and the general school population. The problem is that what Collier County Schools is doing here is not designing a program that will best help these students succeed or contribute to their integration into the high school community. Instead, they're just shunting them off to dead-end adult ed programs. And we have seen in other school districts throughout the country, educators grappling with these issues, understanding that students who have limited formal education or interrupted formal education have different needs than other students, and it's not an easy question because it may not be appropriate to put them with other 16-year-olds, but it also may be complicated to put them with younger students. But other districts, for example, in New York City, have developed programs that serve the complex needs of these students and can get them up to speed in a way that allows them either to obtain a high school diploma or to at least have the chance to obtain a high school diploma and best live up to their academic and intellectual potential. So there are ways of serving these students. It just takes a will of the school district and a commitment to following the law and integrating these students into the classroom.
Well, this is an issue that's not unique to Collier County, so I reached out and called the Miami-Dade School District just 2 hours away from here to find out how they handle foreign-born students with limited education and English proficiency. And while they couldn't join us for the show today, they did tell me what they do. Just last year, Miami-Dade took in 15,000 new students who were born in a different country. The head of communication there told me that the first step is to test the student in their native language to assess their abilities, and then a determination is made, usually to place them in school with additional tutoring to bring them up to speed and extra English for speakers of other language classes. And I guess my question is, does Collier County Schools administer any of these assessment tests like they do in Miami-Dade?
Well, they're required to by law, and they have certified to the Florida Department of Education that they are following their English language learner plan to give tests to these students when they come in to enroll for the first time. However, Collier County Schools is not doing any of that with our particular type of student. With our plaintiffs and the class that they seek to represent, they're simply disregarding the requirements under the law that they assess these students and that they give these tests that are precisely for the reason you mentioned in Miami-Dade, to determine what type of placement is proper and what types of need of needs these students have in terms of additional tutoring and English language learner specific programming that they should give them. Collier is not doing any of that, unfortunately.
Mm. Well, I want to make a quick transition and shift over to talk about the need to learn English, and it is not lost on the young people that are immigrating into the U.S. from other countries. A number of high school students in Southwest Florida go on their own time to the Literacy Council of the Gulf Coast, and I went there just last night. The Literacy Council of the Gulf Coast in Bonita Springs seems to be open at almost all hours. This night's class is being held in a large room divided by collapsible accordion walls, breaking the students up into smaller classes according to how proficient they are with English.
Okay, repeat. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
What is your name?
What is your name?
Where are you from?
Where are you from?
This class is for students just beyond the beginner stage. There are no seats left at the U-shaped table as ESL teacher Bob Sorensen breaks the ice.
Do you like pizza?
Yes.
Do you like tamalitos?
Few of the faces looking back at him nod, but when one student says he likes tamalitos, everyone laughs in agreement. It's an informal setting teaching something vital to these students' lives in the U.S., the English language. These are high school students, mechanics, construction workers, all young adults who made their way to this literacy class after work or school.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Good. What is your name?
My name is Hector.
His what?
Hector.
Where are you from?
I am from Venezuela.
Bob Sorensen is the director of literacy services here at the Literacy Council, and that was him in action last night. And he joins us now in the studio. Bob, what I found most impressive last night is the drive that brings these people into class after working all day or going to school all day. It really is heartwarming to see people trying so hard.
Yes, the students come to class many times after working landscaping or going to school and come voluntarily to take an evening ESL class.
It is exhausting to work in landscaping or going to school. You get mentally tired, and then you still make the time and energy to go to an ESL class.
Yes, it's inspiring.
Well, I know everybody's different, but is there any way that you can guesstimate about how long it takes for a teenager to pick up a new language?
I would think that would be difficult, but we certainly see many people of all ages and teenagers specifically making great strides in a short amount of time.
We've always heard that younger people are quicker at picking up languages.
Well, I think we all can pick up languages as if we want to.
As a matter
all
of,
ages.
As a matter of wanting to.
Yes.
Now I got to learn Spanish. One of the stories out of Miami-Dade School District the representative told me was about a student who had no schooling in their native country, knew no English, entered school at about 9 or 10 years old, and graduated at the top of her class. Do you have any students from your ESL classes that you keep up with who've had tremendous success stories like this or surprise you with their ability to learn so quickly?
We have students who have never been to school. We have students who maybe only speak a dialect, who come here and in a few years are proficient in English. It's just amazing what some people can learn in a short amount of time, given the opportunity.
And that's what you do there. Do you get a lot of students from the high schools?
We get students from every walk of life. We get people working. We get people from schools. We get middle school students and high school students and all stripes.
I even saw a little toddler in there that came with his dad, I think.
Well, we let people bring their children because that's can be a problem if they don't have daycare.
Well, there's no daycare at 6:30 at night,
right?
Either.
So
yeah, that's
come on
that's,
down.
That's helpful. I mean, it's open to pretty much. And it was so heartwarming to see this guy with his little kid going in there. I'm going to learn.
Right.
It's also setting a great example for that young one.
Exactly.
We have a call coming in from Dave in Fort Myers. He has a question. What would you like to say, Dave?
Yes, Julie. First of all, I do want to thank you. This is my second time caller.
Oh.
And I do believe this subject is a phenomenal subject. And I do believe that every child in this planet should never be turned down from school, either a child or a teenager, because knowledge is power. You don't understand how important it is for kids to be in the school. I give you my stories, like 20 years ago, 1999, 2000, there's a lot of people who was coming as migrants from Eastern Europe or Russia. I used to take the parents and the kids from age 10 to 15. I used to take them to a school tourism for Lee County. I used to enroll in the schools because they had no clue how to enroll and all that. So I used to facilitate this process for them. And I, even though the kids were bullied by all the kids because of their language, but then they graduated with the highest honor. They were the best kids in the whole schools. And I go back to them and I always talk to them. And this country do not understand. And these kids, they have a goal. They come to this country and they want to prove this to themselves. They want to work hard from the parents and from the students themselves. And I told you before, I was a teacher for so many years. And kids in this country, a lot of them, they're taking assistance for granted. But these foreign-born kids, they come in here, they want to prove to themselves, prove to the society that they could do it. That's why they work so hard. For as an English language, I came to this country, I didn't have that much of English language, but I pushed myself so hard and learned, and because knowledge is power. That's why I tell this county, it's all politics, because if they just think about it, just 1 second, that's the key. These kids could be out of trouble by staying in schools, by learning and doing better in their lives.
And that is a really good point that you bring up, that getting an education and staying in school and being in school helps kids avoid problems down the road. I mean, do you see that as well?
In our school?
Yeah, with your school, when people get involved and they get involved in learning, does it help keep them more on a triumphant path?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. These are people that have been working or going to school all day long, and then they take it voluntarily. They do not have to come to our schools and voluntarily come again in the evening to learn more English. It is inspiring.
It's hard work, too.
Yes, it is very difficult to learn a second language. It's
well,
not
English
easy.
Isn't an easy one either.
Right.
English is tough. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially if you come from a Romance language. What other services do you offer there at the Literacy Council?
Basically, our curriculum is based on the needs of anybody who walks in our door. So we have citizenship classes, we have GED classes, we have a very large class for children before they hit kindergarten, because it's very important that they learn English and learn their basic skills before they hit kindergarten. What used to be kindergarten for us is now first or second grade, so they really need to get off on the right foot. Citizenship, GED, ESL. We have a lot of people, and we try to we have programs at 70 different sites, mostly in Lee County, and the reason we have so many is that we try to target the people who have problems with transportation.
Oh, yeah, that would be tough to get to the center all the time.
Right.
And then do you help people navigating when it comes to enrolling in schools?
No, not really.
They
just have to go right to the schools.
Yeah. They do?
Sure.
Okay. I was just curious about that because he said the man on the phone said that he had helped people going through enrollment stuff. So.
We can send them in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah, so get them to know who to ask. I mean,
right.
That's just the first step is even difficult sometimes when the whole language is new to you. You rely pretty heavily there on volunteers, and I see that they want to get involved. Well, I was sitting there in the class last night thinking how incredible the effort these students were showing is, and I'm wondering, how can I fit this into my world? How can I get in here and start teaching some ESL classes? How do people get involved?
They can call up the Literacy Council at 239-676-5202, and we have monthly trainings, which are very short, only 6 hours to learn how to teach English as a second language or GED or citizenship classes.
And I bet people really make some friendships too.
Yeah. I've been doing it full time for 12 years, and I love every day of it.
I bet you, I could tell that you did. When you got up there in front of those people, you were just hilarious. It was almost...
Well, they've been working hard all day or they've been going to school. You got to make it fun, right?
Yeah, you got to make it fun and talk about this. Tamalitos. I want to try one now. One of those. I wanted to bring it back to Michelle on the phone with the Southern Poverty Law Center real quick before we wrap up today. I wanted to find out from you, Michelle. Thank you for holding during all that. What is the next step in this lawsuit? Where does it go from here?
very briefly comment on what the caller was speaking about. I think he's absolutely right about the benefit to these students if they're given the chance that they can succeed. But I think it's also important to keep in mind that allowing these students into high school not only comports with the law, but it's right for our society. It's right for Collier County. These are individuals who live in the community, who someday will work in the community, and having them exposed to U.S. culture, to American values through the school system is one of the most important things that a school district can do for the community. So it benefits the Collier County as well and the community. But in terms of the lawsuit, we will continue to press forward and attempt to get our students enrolled, our plaintiffs enrolled, and change the policy on their behalf and on behalf of the class that they're trying to represent so that children are not denied the chance to access a public school education and to attend public school with their peers to earn a high school diploma.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out to talk with us today and tell us more about this lawsuit. Michelle LaPointe with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Thanks for joining us today. And I also want to thank Bob Sorensen for coming in and talking with us after putting on that stellar class last night at the Literacy Council. Thanks for taking the time to come in.
My pleasure.
We are taking things way back next, several million years, to learn more about dinosaurs and a new discovery about how long dinosaur parents had to wait for their eggs to hatch. We'll be right back.